What happens when an entire generation of women is raised to believe their worth is measured in Instagram likes and bathroom scale numbers? We're living in that world right now. Young women scroll endlessly through filtered images, each swipe reinforcing the message that beauty is a competition they're losing. The suicide rate among teenage girls has skyrocketed. Eating disorders have become so normalized that friends compare calorie counts like trading cards. Yet beneath all this desperation lies something deeper, a hunger that no amount of makeup tutorials or gym memberships can satisfy. This isn't just about vanity. It's about a fundamental confusion over what makes a woman truly beautiful. We've replaced grace with sexiness, dignity with attention-seeking, and inner radiance with curated facades. The result? Exhaustion. Women are tired of performing, yet terrified to stop because they've forgotten there's another way to be seen, valued, and loved. Those little girls twirling in princess dresses reveal something profound. The dream of being beautiful, graceful, and noble isn't manufactured by Disney. It's woven into the feminine heart. But between childhood and adolescence, this pure desire gets hijacked. The princess dream twists into desperate pursuit of male attention through increasingly sexualized behavior. Culture systematically teaches girls that beauty means provocative rather than graceful, seductive rather than dignified. Magazine covers and music videos replace fairy tales with something toxic. The result? Heartbreak, objectification, and a gnawing sense that something essential has been lost. Yet throughout history, women who centered their lives on Christ demonstrated a different kind of beauty, one that didn't fade with age or depend on cultural trends. They possessed genuine grace and lasting loveliness that made them unforgettable. Their secret wasn't complicated. They forgot themselves and became consumed with something greater. Modern culture preaches self-love, acceptance, and promotion as paths to confidence. Yet these messages trap us in the self-focus that creates insecurity. Scripture offers a radical alternative. He must increase, but I must decrease. This isn't self-hatred. It's recognizing that confidence rooted in ourselves remains fragile, constantly threatened by rejection, aging, or comparison. Confidence rooted in Christ becomes unshakable because it doesn't depend on fluctuating circumstances. Women throughout history who glowed with otherworldly beauty shared one quality: self-forgetfulness. They accomplished extraordinary things while remaining blissfully self-unaware, confident not in themselves, but in Christ. They achieved this not through affirmations or self-care routines, but through radical surrender. When we stop obsessing over our reflection and fix our eyes on Jesus, something miraculous happens. We begin to radiate His beauty without even trying. Selflessness transforms how we treat others. In a world obsessed with personal branding, basic courtesy has become revolutionary. Watch any restaurant. Half the patrons scroll phones while companions sit ignored. We've normalized rudeness and called it multitasking. True grace means being fully present, making eye contact, asking thoughtful questions, remembering names, treating everyone with equal dignity. The barista and CEO receive the same respectful attention. It means putting your phone away and actually listening instead of waiting for your turn to talk. This extends to how we dress. Modest, dignified style isn't about hiding femininity. It's about drawing attention to your face, personality, and character rather than reducing yourself to body parts. It's the ancient secret of allure, creating mystery rather than putting everything on display. The same principle applies to speech. Do we gossip and complain, or do our words build others up? Every interaction becomes an opportunity to either drain people or refresh them, and that choice reveals what's truly in our hearts. A woman who protects sacred things naturally creates beauty in her environment. This isn't about expensive decorations or Pinterest-perfect aesthetics. It's about treating your living space as a tool for God's priorities. Your home should be a sanctuary for intimacy with Christ, deepening relationships, and practicing hospitality. Consider Betsy Ten Boom, who transformed a Nazi prison cell into a charming sanctuary by carefully arranging simple items. Her ability to create beauty in such desolate surroundings reflected the unquenchable sacred beauty within her spirit. If she could do that in a concentration camp, what's our excuse for living in chaos? Sacred living means deliberately saying no to society's frenzy to protect what truly matters. Keep a hope chest of meaningful things, journals chronicling your journey with Christ, letters to your future spouse, divine promises. Create memorials of God's faithfulness through photos, songs, or written records that prevent life from becoming a blur. This approach extends to hospitality, not entertaining to impress, but investing in others' lives through listening, praying together, and spending time together. Become a peaceful meadow where others can find rest. True hospitality means showing up at the hospital at 5:30 a.m. rather than just saying, "I'll pray for you." Nothing destroys beauty faster than bitterness. In nursing homes, women who harbored grudges become hard and unattractive, while those who practiced forgiveness radiate joy even in frailty. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. As women, we easily become ruled by emotions rather than God's spirit. When hurt, we want to cling to pain and hold grudges. But Christ spoke clearly. We must forgive others as God has forgiven us. This isn't optional. It's essential to the Christ life. Forgiveness is primarily between us and God, not dependent on the offender's repentance. Like Jesus who prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," we must love others regardless of their response. This doesn't mean staying in abusive situations, but it does mean releasing bitterness and trusting God with justice. Humility can be measured by how quickly we admit our wrongs. When we ask forgiveness immediately, we keep accounts short and show we value relationships above pride. Similarly, when someone hurts us, we must quickly surrender the offense to God before bitterness takes root. This practice builds Christ-like character and increases others' respect for us. In a culture obsessed with youth and perfection, here's the liberating truth. A woman deeply in love with Jesus radiates beauty that overpowers physical flaws. Insecurity stems from unhealthy self-focus rather than Christ-focus. When the enemy whispers that everyone notices your imperfections, fight back with truth and scripture. If you can address a physical concern, crooked teeth, weight, prayerfully consider it, but don't postpone Christ-like confidence until flaws are fixed. A godly man transformed by Christ will primarily be attracted to your heart, seeing Christ's beauty radiating through you. This applies to eating disorders and body image struggles, which require both medical attention and spiritual healing. Freedom comes through repentance, Christ's transforming power, and help from godly counselors and medical professionals. The path to lasting beauty remains constant. Daily, passionate intimacy with the author of all true beauty. Your worth isn't measured in likes, your beauty isn't captured in mirrors, and your value isn't determined by male attention. When you replace self-obsession with Christ focus, you become the woman you were always meant to be, transformed by the one whose image you bear.